From PRI, Public Radio International, it's To the Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Jim Fleming.
Run, Mary, run. Whoa. Run, Martha, run. Well, hell, Mary, run, I say. You've got a right to be your kind. Run, Mary, run.
Hip-hop and rock and roll may rule Billboard's charts, but keep your eye on gospel music. Since the attacks of September 11th, gospel music sales have more than tripled, and gospel's popularity keeps rising. But gospel music's always been more than a pretty sound. Its purpose is to uplift the spirit of its listeners, to help them through their struggles. Gospel music is the soul of the black church. So sit back, relax, and join us for an hour on the soul of gospel music. First up, Reverend Cheryl Jilks. She says gospel music has many distinct elements, from the organ to the choir, but it's the female soloist who makes the music shine. Steve Paulson spoke with Reverend Jilks about women in gospel music.
Why has gospel music been so important to African-American women?
Well, it's important to African-Americans in general, but African-American women make up the largest proportion of Christians in the African-American experience. And it's been important because their voices have really shaped the tradition. Even the male composers, composers like W. Herbert Brewster and Thomas A. Dorsey, who we do call the father of gospel music, both of those composers liked to have women present their songs. So Mahalia Jackson was a favorite soloist for Dorsey. And the Ward Singers were some of the favorite singers for Brewster. The Ward Singers made very famous his song, "Surely God Is Able."
Surely, 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 He's able, carry you, carry you through.
Why does that matter so much to you, the fact that women are the ones who often sing these songs?
Well, my interest was more to see how the music functioned for psychic survival.
What do you mean by psychic survival?
Really living with integrity in a society that is hostile to you in terms of your being black in a white-dominated society, your being female in a male-dominated society, your being less than affluent in an affluent society. All of those things can combine to create some serious problems for people unless they have something else pushing them forward, encouraging them to hold their head up anyhow, to go on anyhow, to be strong. And a number of these songs really do encourage people build up their strength. One of my favorite songs by Shirley Caesar is a shout song that she does called "Oh Peter, Don't Be Afraid. Walk out on the water, don't be afraid." And you get sort of a push from that. You get pushed to be strong. You get reminded. Clara Ward has this wonderful song that says, hold back the tears. God knows how much you can bear. Look to the heavens and hold back the tears. So those kinds of songs push you to hold your head up no matter how badly you feel.
Oh, Peter, don't be afraid. Jesus said,
oh, yeah, Peter,
don't be afraid. Jesus said, Peter, you denied me, yeah, don't be afraid.
What makes a piece of music sacred?
The traditional gospel singers would say it is gospel music. It is good news music, good news about Jesus. So it is explicitly Christian, and the singers consider themselves to be good Christians. You've occasionally had singers who have ended up with recording contracts where they're supposed to sing inspirational music that doesn't specifically mention Jesus and doctrinal issues. And as soon as those contracts are over, they are out from under them and they are singing about Jesus again. So, and this is what makes the audiences for the music so sensitive to what these singers do, what happens when the singers become secular singers. For instance, somebody like Mahalia Jackson refused absolutely to sing anything but gospel music.
I'm gonna live a life I sing about in my soul.
Let me ask you about that division between blues and gospel, because I know there's historically sort of been hostility in some gospel circles towards the blues. I mean, it's been called devil's music. I mean, if there's anything that's considered secular and, you know, not of the church, it's the blues. Does that divide mean something to you?
Well, it's very meaningful. Thomas A. Dorsey, for instance, started his career not as Thomas A. Dorsey, gospel music composer, but as Georgia Tom, blues pianist for Ma Rainey. And if you see any pictures of Ma Rainey and her group, that man on the piano is Thomas Dorsey. He also composed quite a few blues pieces, full of the double entendres and the references to sexuality that are just not, you don't do that in evangelical church music, okay? But he, as others did, went through a conversion experience and then started writing gospel. And he has a wonderful narrative. He composed a hymn that is just, it is everybody's hymn. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm worn. And on an album of Dorsey's songs, where he actually talks about composing the hymn, he talks about the tragedy in his life of losing his wife and his baby while he was away at a revival. And then he, after he had the funeral, he went over to the Poro College. These were schools that Madame Malone and her system of hair care had established in black communities throughout the country. And so they were available as community institutions. And he was over in a music room in the Poro College there in Chicago with his arranger, Theodore Fry. And he said he was hurting. And he said, I almost wanted to go back to blues. But then he says the words like drops of water came, and he wrote the song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. So here is somebody who had been in the world of blues, who left that and saw that as a very clear, different space. For a lot of people, the music does it for them when they're not in the church house. People who have gotten separated from church life in a number of ways find gospel music a source for themselves. They have issues with what they consider to be a too conservative position by the churches that generate the music. But the nice thing is you can go to the record store and get the music, and on Sunday morning have croissant and turn on the music. Or on Saturday mornings, turn on the music and clean the house at the same time.
When you're listening to gospel music, do you feel the presence of Jesus?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It is sacred music for me.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to describe verbally, but just say yes.
Cheryl Jilks is an ordained Baptist minister who also teaches religious studies at Colby College. Steve Paulson spoke with her.
Children,
I'm Jim Fleming. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Because it's music to the soul.
Because gospel is the good news, and we love singing about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Gospel music is birthed out of our faith. So, you know, we have a song based on what we believe.
Why do I sing gospel music?
Can I turn a question to you? Why do you love good? You want everything in your life good, right? You don't want nothing in your life bad, do you? Well, I'm saying something. The gospel is good news of Jesus Christ. It's all good news, not bad.
It's good news. It's good music. It's fun. It gives you something to hope for. It gives you, just gives you life. It makes you just know that God is real.
The old man's dilemma with the new man's righteousness, basically. So it's a very liberating experience, and you feel the spirit of the words, you feel the spirit of what they're trying to accomplish and say.
Provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
No heck on the power.
Hallelujah goes to our God.
There it is.
Lord, I'm standing in the need of a blessing.
Days when I'm depressed, I can keep a song in my heart. I can remember a song that was here, and I just start singing. And you just feel better. You just feel better. You can treat people better. You know, we forget about color. We forget about just things that goes on in your life. When you sing a song, and it has something to do with the Lord, you just feel better.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Why do I sing gospel music? I sing gospel music because it's my way of praising the Lord. It's my way of telling the Lord thank you.
Gospel music leaves a great legacy to American culture. One of gospel's greatest influences was on the soul music of the 1970s. Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, and Stevie Wonder all combined the secular with the sacred to create a mix we still love today. Craig Werner's the author of the book Higher Ground. He says all the different aspects of soul music have one thing in common: gospel.
Soul music is what happens when
singers who were trained in the gospel church, who grew up with it and feel the world and process the world that way, start interacting with the secular music business. So they take the sound and they take the feeling. There's a process that has been described called the gospel vision, the gospel impulse, which says you begin with your burdens, the crosses the Lord has given you to bear, whatever is hurting you. And then rather than locking it up inside, you testify, you bear witness, you sing it out. And what's really important about gospel is you do it in a community. You do it with other people around so that you're saying, I am feeling low. And then the people say, yeah, I hear you. I share that with you. And there's this amazing transformative process that turns that into a kind of vision of redemption, a sense that we're going to make it to a higher ground. But in the music business, you're in radio stations that for the most part don't want to deal with politics. They don't want to deal with religion. And so what the soul artist learned to do was to write songs and sing songs that sounded secular, that sounded like love songs. Ray Charles said it once. He said, gospel and rhythm and blues are the same thing. And one you're singing about the love of God and the one you're singing about the love of a woman.
Soul music is based in gospel. You say blues is based in gospel.
Blues is based in the same traditions. It's a different part of the traditions. Blues and gospel are really different. Soul music combines both. Blues tends to be more, here's what's hurting me. I'm going to sing my song. I'm going to say it hadn't killed me. I'm still here. But the difference is that blues ultimately says, just keep on keeping on. Get up again tomorrow morning. Go on. Gospel says, if we hold together, we're going to make it to a better place. Move on up a little higher. Mahalia Jackson saying, Stevie Wonder's keep on pushing to make that, reach that higher ground. So they're very closely related. It's the two sides of a coin rather than separate worlds. I'm so glad that he let me try. If you're looking for an artist who defined a moment, Aretha Franklin between about 1967 and 1971 or 72 was there all the time. Dick Gregory, the comedian turned political activist, said Aretha was a more important political force than Martin Luther King, and he meant it absolutely seriously. He said you'd hear Dr. King on the news once a night, you'd hear Aretha 3-4 times every hour. Poet Nikki Giovanni said, if Aretha Franklin had said, do it, it would have been done.
The funny thing about it, though, is as you make clear in Higher Ground, her roots are really strongly in gospel singing. That's where she got her beginning, right?
Yeah. Her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, was one of the most important figures in Black America. In Detroit, he was the most visible African-American Baptist preacher. He had a gospel review that he took on the road. And Aretha grew up in a household where great jazz artist Art Tatum would visit them, the great gospel singers. Mahalia Jackson came and literally raised Aretha Franklin up. Aretha breathed in gospel. She went to her father's church. She recorded amazing music when she was 14 years old, made a gospel album. And you listen to it, and she sounds like she's 250. She sounds like she arrived on the first ship from West Africa and had been singing ever since.
Why then the shift from gospel to soul for commercial success?
Yeah, there was simply more money to be made in the secular world. The
gospel singers could do well. But Sam Cooke's biggest gospel hit with the Soul Stirrers sold about 125,000 copies. That's a lot of records, but didn't sell any of them to speak of to white people. And when he made his crossover success with You Send Me, that sold millions. There's a big difference there. Interestingly enough, it was at a time when the strategy in the civil rights movement was sometimes called the best foot forward. You look back at the early pictures of the civil rights movement, everybody is dressed up in suits. Everybody is very polite. Everybody speaks absolutely proper English. Martin Luther King controlled what went on camera. Motown wanted to sign Aretha Franklin. Sam Cooke wanted to sign her to his label. C.L. Franklin said, no, we're going to sign with Columbia because that's where Frank Sinatra is making his, that kind of record.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take F-T-C-T.
Curtis Mayfield, who I think is the great under-recognized figure in American music, grew up in, again, he was a minister's child. Grandchild, actually. His grandmother was the minister of a very small storefront church, about the size of this studio, in West Chicago, the Traveling Soul Spiritualist Church. And Curtis grew up literally in this very, very intense musical environment of the church. Couldn't have been farther from Aretha's. Aretha grew up in a Baptist temple. Curtis grew up in the scruffiest church in the scruffiest part of Chicago.
But same style, too, this call and response, the find the emotion first and the words later.
Yeah, and Curtis's style was a little bit different. It tended to be the voices blending in the harmony at the end, whereas Aretha was really a shouter, and partially that's just her voice. Aretha just has a better voice than anybody, but definitely than Curtis. Curtis had a very, it's almost frail, it's a high tenor voice, lovely, lovely voice, but he knew he wasn't going to go out there and compete with James Brown.
There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind.
Just to save his own.
Believe me now, have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready. There's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the
We talk about finding the emotion first and the words later, but when he found his words, they were often more political than what Aretha was singing.
Yeah, more explicitly political. Aretha has her songs that were political. A song like Respect, but it was very open-ended politics. Different people could embrace that in different ways. It could be a Black Power song. It could be a woman's song. Curtis, though, was more willing to be more openly political earlier than almost any other artist, and part of that was that he's so beautiful. It's harmony group. It doesn't sound threatening. It's very welcoming. It's inclusive. He had such a positive spiritual energy that when he would sing a song like Keep On Pushing, a song that he got directly from his grandmother's church, he talked about, said, when I needed lyrics, I thought about songs. He said, my grandmother, you sing this song, said, God gave me strength and don't make no sense not to keep on pushing. He said, I knew that they weren't going to let me sing about God on the radio. So he said, I sing, I've got my strength and don't make no sense not to keep on pushing. But in the contents of 1963 and 1964, that was a movement song.
I've got to keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. I can't stop now. Move up a little higher. Some way or somehow, 'cause I've got my strength and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
What happened, do you think? I mean, when people think about the 70s, they think about John Travolta in that white suit and Saturday Night Fever. They don't think so much about soul music.
Well, I think because disco happened at a time when America was running away from the commitments of the civil rights movement, the freedom movement, and people were tired. Vietnam had happened. The assassinations had happened. People wanted a party. They wanted a good time, and they weren't listening.
So where does it go now?
One would hope that's what's happening in New Orleans, which is the soul of American music in many ways, will re-inspire some kind of a commitment to community. I'm in the process right now of making some CD mixes for some refugees who've been taken in by Northern Wisconsin Church. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm thinking about it. I say, what do you offer in this situation? Because music is terribly important to those people, and their music mostly was taken away from them in the chaos. And, you know, what I come back to is I come back to gospel and the music that comes out of gospel, that it's what we need.
Craig Werner is the author of Higher Ground, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, Curtis Mayfield, and the Rise and Fall of American Soul. I'm Jim Fleming. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Yes. The spirit dwells within us, so I think that singing helps to bring the spirit to the surface.
It's just there. You know when it's happening, but you don't know what's happening.
Just like how you see trees go like this, you kind of can't see God, but you can see the reaction of God. See how you see the wind? Do you see wind? No. But you see the trees move, and you see the reaction from it.
Every time I turn around, He's blessing me. It's over and over, over and over, He's blessing me.
In the inside, I do feel the fire. I do feel the Holy Spirit moving down deep inside.
He is exalted. The King is exalted on high.
It should be a bread of life sent down from glory.
You really can't explain it. You have to experience it. But when you have the indwelling of the Spirit, when you lift your hands, then you become overwhelmed on the outside, and you can't help but bear witness to the truth.
But you are the living Word, yes.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Do you feel the Holy Spirit every time and sing one of your songs?
Yes.
Every time?
Yes, I feel it right now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Praise God. Yes, sir. I do.
Jefferson County, Alabama is recognized as the birthplace of a cappella gospel. This style of singing emerged in the early 20th century, when a boom in the coal and steel industries led to a massive migration of African-American workers to Jefferson County. The workers were housed in segregated company towns. They worked for meager wages. With little chance for recreation, they formed gospel singing groups. Although Jefferson County, Alabama, is no longer the epicenter of gospel music today, two of its oldest gospel quartets still remain: the Sterling Jubilees, formed in 1929, and the Four Eagle Gospel Singers, started in 1938. Is Joe Watson, who's been the lead singer of the Four Eagles since 1946.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been running ever since I made a start. Those dark days of freedom. Hallelujah. Then make my burden lighter. Jesus, love bubble over in my heart, in my heart.
Like most groups in the area, the Sterling Jubilees came out of Jefferson County Steel Mill. The group was formed back in 1929 at the company quarters off the Bessemer Pipe Plant. Things was very different in the steel mills and coal mines back when the Sterling first formed. During those early years, the pay was terrible and the mines and mills were pitifully dangerous.
Well, I ain't been to heaven, but I...
But all that began to change when the unions arrived. First, the coal mines were organized in the 1930s. Then, in 1944, the United Steelworkers of America arrived in Jefferson County. The gospel groups did whatever they could to help the unions along. No group was closer to the union than the Sterling Jubilees. During those early days, the Sterling would sing every Saturday night down at the Union Hall. John Alexander, the manager and lead singer of the Sterling, says that was a big help.
If you're sounding good, somebody gonna knock on the door. Who is it? I don't want nothing. I just said, could I come in and listen to it? Yeah, come on in. He gonna pull the door up behind him and put his hat on, walk in and take a seat. First thing you know, you got a half a hall of people. I want to hear you sing. And then he went on to join the union.
Because they were so close to the Steelworkers Union. For many years, the Sterling Jubilees were known simply as the CIO Singers. That stands for the Congress of Industrial Organization.
We belong to the CIO. Oh, now say that again. Now. We belong to the CIO. Now, see, see.
In 1952, Philip Murray, the founder and president of both the CIO and United Steelworkers of America, died. Workers across the country went into mourning. Tenor singer Henry Hosen remembered that the Sterling was moved to write a song.
Let the spirit of Philip Murray live on and on. Let his spirit live right on. Let the spirit of Philip Murray live on and on. God have called Mr. Murray home.
The Sterling went into the studio and recorded this song. It was their first record ever. The spirit of Philip Murray was released nationally and inspired workers from coast to coast.
Men, women, and children cried when they heard the sad news Mr. Murray had died. He was CIO loss, but he's heaven's gain. In the day of resurrection, we'll see him again. Now, good God Almighty, our best friend is gone. I want you boys to help me just to sing this song. Let the spirit of Phil Murray live on and on.
The news was just getting out. They're like when Christ had said, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ been born. But the news had to get out.
While all of the members of the Sterling Jubilee retired long ago, there are some members of my group, the Four Eagles, who are still working. Like John Lawrence, who replaced one of our original members back in 1963. Lawrence is a coal miner in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Five nights a week, he heads down more than 2,000 feet into the deepest coal mine in North America.
Finish up four, the left side miner's down, so when you finish up four, we'll have to move it over there.
Okay. All right.
Lawrence operates a coal cutting machine. And, as we once did, Brother Lawrence sometimes sings on the job.
Mountains get high, I'ma live for Jesus.
valleys get low, that I will live for Jesus. My way may get dark.
A song can uplift you when nothing else can. I've had it happen to me so many times.
That God had been so good to me. Oh, on Friday evening, he died on Calvary. Cause I got a mind to live for Jesus. All of mine, all of mine. Yeah, every one of mine, one of my days.
Sponsored bedroom, in other words.
Back in this is the gospel coming.
Through the years, I keep on tolling.
It's time now for the Four Eagle Gospel Singers. They've been singing for over 50 years now. For all of the sick and the shut in all over the state of Alabama, Birmingham, and Bessemer. Getting ready to celebrate their 53rd anniversary, our very own Four Eagle Gospel Singers. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Radio Land. This is your own Four Eagle Gospel Singer, Brother Long.
I'm coming, Lord.
And I'm coming, Lord.
I'm coming home.
At 6 o'clock every Sunday morning, myself and the rest of the Four Eagle Gospel Singers arrive at the studio of WENN in Birmingham for our weekly live radio program. We've been broadcasting now for 50 years.
I'm coming, Lord.
Lord, I'm coming, Lord.
I'm coming on home on this
Lord, I'm coming home.
You will look for me, Lord.
You will look for me.
But don't call the road.
Don't call the road.
Oh, Lord,
till I get
please,
there. Oh, till I get there.
While the airways used to be full of live gospel music on Sunday mornings, especially in Alabama, we are just about the last gospel group in the entire country that still has a regular live broadcast.
And also, we are like to send this program special out to Mama Georgia, who's been trailing the Four Eagle Gospel Singing for over 53 years. She's on the ill list this morning, yeah. And our heart and our mind goes out to Mama Georgia. And also,
oh, my head long,
oh, my head.
I am singing in the air.
The a cappella style does not have the popularity it once did in Jefferson County. Years ago, when musical instruments became popular with gospel groups, singers started to drift away from the style. One reason is that a cappella singing is just too difficult. Again, Brother John Lawrence.
It's much easier singing with music because it covers up a whole lot with us. You got to, everything got to be right at all times, though you can tell
it. Tell me, have you been dipped in the water? Tell me, have you been washed? Washed in the blood of the Lamb? Tell me, feel all right.
Really, I love for people to hear the words of what I'm saying because every song carries a message, and I like to get the message over to people. See, I'd rather sing one song where people can really understand what I'm saying and to get up there with music and sing 10 and nobody know what you're saying. So you still haven't gotten through to them.
You've been listening to the Four Eagle Gospel Singers. Join us again next Sunday at the same time, 6 until 6:30, for our very own Four Eagle Gospel Singers. This is WENN, Birmingham, Alabama. I'm Reverend Ron. Good morning, everybody. It's 6:30 in the city.
Later that day, after the broadcast of our radio program, a few hundred people joined us at church in Brownville, Alabama, as they do each year, to commemorate all our years of singing together.
Let every heart say amen. Amen. Let's say it again. Amen. Let's say it again. Amen. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. All right, we're here for one purpose, and that is to help celebrate the well-earned 53rd anniversary of the one and only, the famous Four Eagles of Birmingham, Alabama.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the word has come to me that there was some concern about whether or not the honorees were going to sing tonight. Some of us came to honor them as well as to hear them sing. So, guys, I'm afraid you're not going to be able to get away with that cool you're playing. You got to go to work. Ladies and gentlemen, the Four Eagle Gospel Singers, give it to them.
Let church say amen. Amen. Let us all say amen again. Amen.
You know, friend, I'm just about one of the happiest persons in this world right now. You just make me feel so good to look all my many good friends in the face here this afternoon. Let us say amen again.
Amen. Talk about a man named Jesus. That man called Jesus. Oh, Lord, he's a friend of mine. Lord, on the road there stood a crowd. When the Lord was passing by, talk about Jesus.
Talk about Jesus.
A friend of mine.
Well, before your gospel singers, we wish to say to you, on this your 53rd anniversary, may God ever bless you. Some have come and some have gone. Some are still here that began from the beginning was. And we are just grateful to God for you keeping the tradition alive. Because one of these days, all of us are going to sing our cappella in that heavenly choir. And we want you to continue until God calls us home. May God bless you and may he keep you as our friend.
Amen. When I sing, Lord, shout.
This piece was recorded by David Isay in Jefferson County, Alabama, for Sound Portraits Productions. It was narrated by Joe Watson, the lead singer of the Four Eagle Gospel Singers.
Oh, yeah. Doing well. When I get to heaven, we're going to sing and shout. Then there'll be nobody there to turn me out. We're going to look up David in the heat of the day. Tune up my harp, then begin to play. La 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 la. There must be a heaven somewhere. Oh yeah.
You're listening to gospel legend Shirley Caesar in a duet with Tone. But this is also Tone. It's this mix of old school gospel with a new school that made Tone the number one selling gospel artist last year. It also made him a lightning rod in the black church. Tone took a break from the recording studio to chat with Ann Strangehamps.
When did you get interested in combining traditional gospel with more popular music? I mean, like hip hop and rap.
My brothers would have like all the secular funk, you know, stuff downstairs in the basement. So I'm the youngest of six. So after I listened to the gospel stuff upstairs at night, I would sneak down into the basement and I would listen to Parliament and Bootsy Collins and Funkadelic and Ohio Players and all that stuff. So I was like, well, why can't I take both of these? And I like what they're saying. I like the way that gospel makes me feel. But I like the way that this funk is driving me. So what would happen if I caused these two planets to have a cataclysmic experience by merging together?
You are my personal Jesus. Without you, where would I be? Oh, if I must talk to the Father, then I must go through thee. Oh.
There are more hip-hop artists now who are starting to play gospel music. For instance, Kanye West, you know, had the top song last year with his hit, Jesus Walks. What did you think of that song?
I thought it was relevant. I thought it was needed. I think it was long overdue. It's a shame that somebody who not necessarily categorizes himself as a gospel artist would be the first to make such a groundbreaking record when there's so much innovation and talent within the genre itself. I guess it's just a matter of who wants to be ostracized and persecuted for being a trailblazer. Tone is synonymous with that. I mean, I am the great controversy of gospel, the bad boy, the Dennis Rodman of gospel, that's what they used to call me. Because you have to be able to stand up for what you believe and take the hits initially, but it moves a whole genre. And what he did was he spoke to a whole generation who would never probably step foot into a conventional church setting. And what's so funny, he caught most of his flack from the gospel community because he was nominated for Best Gospel Hip Hop Album or Song. And they were like, no, you shouldn't be nominated, and, you know, you shouldn't be a part of this because he's not one of us, and blah, blah, blah. And that's so, like, the antithesis of what Christ would have done in that situation. I believe Christ was so not that. I mean, he was so relevant to everyone, and that's why I have so much respect for Kanye, because I mean, that opened up a lot of doors for many of us with that message, and I wish that it had been more embraced by those who say they know God. The only thing that I pray is that
my feet don't fail me now. You know, Tony, I was thinking, you're in your 20s, you're the pastor of a church, you're the number one selling gospel artist in the country. That's got to be a lot of pressure. I guess I wonder, are there times when you feel like you just would like a break from being Tony?
You know, it's so hard being a gospel artist because you are constantly, or Christian artist, because you're constantly trying to be what you think they want you to be. And then if you have success in it, it's even worse, because then you have to continue to perpetuate a facade some days, because you're just not that person who they think you are. Even what I'm saying to you is probably the most transparent I've been. And maybe it's just because of the space I'm in life right now, where I asked God before I got here to this interview, I was like, if it's your will for me to do this, at least let me be honest with these people. And hopefully through that honesty, someone else can be set free.
Is this why hip-hop, why rap, are so important to you and have had such a draw for you? Because they come out of the streets, and because there's that, you know, that whole emphasis on being real, being authentic.
Absolutely, which is why they can see right through you. I mean, they know. That's why most hip-hop connoisseurs are not into the Christian version of hip-hop, because it's not authentic. And there's very few that really have that type of credibility, because you're just trying to be something for sale, or you're trying to be something that you're not, or you haven't went through anything to have conviction in what you're saying. That's why I was drawn to that. I really didn't find out about my African-American history until I listened to Public Enemy, until I listened to X-Clan, until I listened to Sister Soulja. It was the way I was educated. Without these people, I wouldn't have found out about who I was, so that I could become who I was going to be. You might as well quit, cause the fight's been fixed. Be pouring milk on your tricks and your style's a piss. Format stated, way overrated. Every track that we drop is hot, that's why you hate it. But movie is nick, cause you already faded. Your bus is still a root and you'll be...
It's interesting, cause you've shared the stage both with some hardcore rappers, and people like Jay-Z and 50 Cent, and you've also sung with some of gospel's greatest names, people like Shirley Caesar. And you know, you'd think those two traditions, gospel and rap, would be about as far apart as you could get, but it sounds like what you're saying is that there, for you, there is some common ground between the two.
Absolutely. I believe that I am not only a conduit for a message that can cause both of them to relate, but I also see, as Tone, the bridge that what I do creates between them. A lot of times when you say you're going to bridge something, people often feel that you're trying to make one of the other turn into the opposite thing, and that's not it. It's just bringing a mutual respect for what each party has to offer, and then revealing how much common ground there really is between the two parties so that they can begin to discuss in a civilized manner and reason together and find out what can we do for you all to not be so judgmental, for you all to take more responsibility over what you write in your lyrics, and then come to a common ground. It may not mean we'll ever go on a tour together, but at least we'll have respect for what each other has to offer and hopefully empower each other to a greater place, because music is a platform that requires a great deal of responsibility on either side of the spectrum.
Tone's double CD, called Out the Box, was last year's best-selling gospel album. Tone is also pastor at Truth Apostolic Community Church in Spring Valley, California, and Strange Champ spoke with him. We could get along. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Jim Fleming. You can buy a copy of this program by calling the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. Ask for Born Again Gospel, program number 918A. To the Best of Our Knowledge, the recipient of the 2005 Peabody Award, is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio by Steve Paulson, Veronica Rickert, Doug Gordon, and Strange Champs, Mary Lou Finnegan, and Charles Monroe Kane. Our intern is John Peterson. Our technical director is Kirill Owen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Public Radio International.